Good evening. I'd like to take this opportunity again to welcome each and every one of you. Thank each and every one of you for being here tonight. Certainly hope that you have had a good Sunday afternoon. Hopefully, if you were not here with us this morning, I thought Roger had a great lesson for us to kickstart this new week as we are entering a new season of spring. I thought that was a really good hope-filled message, and I'm a little more tuned into hope-filled stuff than some of the negative things that we have coming into our lives. And so, if you haven't had the opportunity to listen to that, I'd encourage you to do so. But again, thank you for being here, and certainly hope that our time together is beneficial to you as we begin this new week. You know, the reality is we like to have good days. We like to enter the church building filled with that sort of joy. But sometimes life sort of makes that difficult to do, to come in here with a smiling face. I don't know how you come into the building tonight, whether you have had a good day, a good week, a bad day, a bad week. I know last week for me was one of those weeks where nothing inherently was terrible, nothing inherently went wrong, but it was one of those weeks that it just sort of poked you, and it prodded you in all the different ways where it was like almost to a comedic level of, is this week going to get any better? And the reason I mention that is because I know for a fact that unless there is rain on Thursday at 4 o'clock this coming week, that I'm going to have a great week. Unless it is raining in Cincinnati, Ohio at 4 p.m. on Thursday, my week is going to be fantastic. I was just talking to Bradley before we began services. This coming week, something that I look forward to every year, maybe my favorite day of the calendar, opening day of the baseball season. If you know me, I could talk to you so much about why opening day is so special, right? The importance of it being, especially in a place like Cincinnati, just the history, the pageantry, the pomp and circumstance of the day, where you really, unlike any other, you know, baseball is sometimes gets a bad rap because it is every single day. They play 162 times a year. They play for 8 to 9 months of the year, and so it sort of sometimes gets lost in the clutter. It's not like football where they have one day a week. It's a daily thing. But this day in particular is so special because of the focus, the interest, the goodness that is devoted to it, right? The intent that is behind this fresh start, this opportunity for everybody. And really the only reason I bring that up is because a player on my favorite team, really, he did an interview back in late January, early February. I was probably one of the 30 people who listened to the midweek off-season radio shows on a Tuesday evening in the winter. But he said something in that interview that really has stuck with me since and is where really the impetus of tonight's lesson is going to be from. That motto he said, I think, is really beneficial for us. The Reds last year finished 2 games short of a playoff spot. Had they won their final 2 games of the regular season, they would have made the playoffs, but they didn't. They fell short. They lost just by the slimmest of margins in this long, elongated season. And so because of that, this offseason, there has been almost a renewed focus, a renewed energy, a renewed hope around the team. And it's a pretty young team, and so they were asking one of the veteran players on the team in that interview, what do you think the team has to do for this coming season if you are going to achieve that goal, if you are going to grow in the direction you all know that is possible, what you have the ability to do? How are you all going to attack that to make sure that you don't fall short next time? And his response, I loved it. It's has stuck with me since he said it on that Tuesday in late January. He said that if we're going to have success, we are going to need intention in everything that we do. And I really, really liked that. Not just because The team has, in my lifetime, only had, I think, 5 winning seasons, so the hope of a winning season is certainly something to look forward to. But this idea of a team-wide focus, a team-wide energy, having intention in everything that they do. Even within that interview, within that answer, he continued to go on and talk about biblical examples. He went back to the Old Testament times of the Israelites and how they could be distracted from their mission, distracted from the focus with the different idols and things and distractions that get in the way that have clouded up or taken them off the focus of their mission. Right? That not always, you don't always hear athletes answer questions with biblical examples. And so tonight we're not going to look at an Old Testament example of having this intention in everything that we do and in being focused. We're going to look at a New Testament example, an example from John 15. We're not going to have anything up on the screen. I think you've probably guessed by now. So I'd encourage you to open up a Bible, read along, or turn on a phone tablet or other electronic device to follow along. We're basically just going to be right there in John 15 for the evening. It is here in John 15 where I think we can find a helpful message for us as we are starting this new week. A week that if you are like me, we want to get off on the right foot. We have things to look forward to this week. I think starting here tonight and the lessons that we can take away here from John 15 not only will help us this week, but will help us with this overall goal of, unlike this baseball team, we're not trying to make the playoffs. We're not trying to do anything like that. But we have this goal this year of bringing the best or being the best. And I think John 15 is a great place for us to be fueled by intention with our best to God. If we want the best relationship, we want to have a stronger relationship, we need to grow in our relationship. I think John 15 and the fuel of intentionality that John 15 can provide us, I think is a great place for us to start. Read with me, if you would, those first 11 verses of John 15. John 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. John 15, a verse or section of verses that we no doubt have heard many lessons on, many classes on. And so while we are not going to reinvent the wheel in any way tonight, I'd ask just to look at it from those goggles of intentionality and what we need to do in our relationship to grow closer to God, to grow closer to Christ. And we have four points, four takeaways. That's really an acronym for FUEL is what we had titled the lesson for tonight. Each letter corresponding with a point in these 11 verses that I hope will be beneficial for each and every one of us. That first one, we can see intentional foundation or a focus for us to begin a starting point of our lives, a starting point in our relationship with God. Right there in verses 1 and 2, we can see that that he is this life source. He is the one from whom life derives. We can find our identity in him, right? If we are going to have this strong relationship, if we want to grow in that relationship, we have to find that starting point. And that all starts with this foundation, this focus that he is the one who is the giver of life. He is the one who is our foundation. He is this life source. It is not me. It is not my job. It is not my cars. It is not my favorite sports team that, whether they win or lose, that directs my attitude for the day. Right? He is the one. He is our foundation. He is the life source. Verse 4 shares with us that we need to abide in him, right? That is where our focus needs to be directed, that we abide in him. It is a daily relationship, was in one of the notes of my study Bibles. It is not a big Sunday coming up on the calendar. I guess I better put on my abide hat and clothes and be godly this week because it's an important week on the calendar. Right? It doesn't work that way. We don't take it on, we don't take it off. To have a intentional, strong relationship with Christ, if we are growing closer to Christ, being more connected with Christ, we need to have that daily relationship. We need to have that intentional focus that God is the center of it all. Our identity is in him. And I think that's where we start there in John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Our second note, understanding, an intention on understanding, right? It's one thing to know where the starting point is. It's one thing to know where we need to have our lives focused. It's another to build on that, to build on our knowledge, to progress that starting point further. And that understanding really is verses 5 and 6, that understanding of what a Christ-centered life looks like for each and every one of us. Read with me again, verse 5. Verse 5 helps us dive in and be more intentional with that understanding. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Right? It seems pretty simple to say that he is the one that we are depending on. It's easy to read. It's easy to understand that concept. It's a whole other thing to accept it and truly apply that to our lives, right? We are the ones who are dependent on him. If he truly is going to be our foundation, if our focus is truly going to be rooted and connected to this life source, knowing that we are dependent upon him is a key aspect of our understanding. If we truly want to have that growth, to grow closer to him, understanding that we are nothing on our own. Right? Back to that story I said at the beginning. Right? We see this idea with sports teams all the time. Connectivity. The teams that are the most connected and are playing together, they are sharing together in that same mission, they seemingly play the best, right? And perhaps you've been watching basketball this past weekend. There are a few games I wish I didn't watch, but I ended up did watch. You can see those teams that have a couple people who aren't connected. They are not on the same page as everybody else, right? When we sing together, whether you are here, there are as Bradley noted, if you sing too quickly, we're not following along with the tempo. You're going to be in a different place than everybody else. This understanding that on our own we can be nothing, especially in the context here of John 15, understanding and knowing that and accepting that and applying that to our lives is a key aspect of growing closer to God, of being intentional about our relationship with God. Our focus and our understanding that to have a Christ-centered life, I need to be dependent on him and I am nothing on my own. And then secondly, verse 6 there, the seriousness of this understanding, right? We know what it is, we've read what it is to know we need to be dependent on him. We've read what it is to know that on our own we are nothing. But then we also have to understand the seriousness of being unconnected. or unfocused. And that's what verse 6 of John 15 shares with us. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Right? What a stark contrast from this branch that bears great fruit to one that is withering away. Right? What's the difference there? The difference is in intent and understanding. Right? Those, if we are to be connected, if we are to be focused, if we are to grow closer to this life source, then we have to know the seriousness of the consequences if we are not making those same decisions. The disconnected that withers away, right? We know what that looks like in our own lives. People we have grown up with or have gone to work with, who at some time have that interest, they have that hope in their eyes, but then life gets in the way and chokes that goodness or that hope out of them. Right? To truly grow closer, to truly have an intentional relationship, we need to both have a starting point of a focus, a foundational point to build on, but then this aspect of understanding. We need to know the seriousness of the decisions that we are making. From that understanding is really what we talked about this morning. There's a sense of eagerness, a sense of eagerness that Jesus speaks of here in John 15, verses 10 and 11 that we can find. If we are truly, again, having a relationship with God, or we want to grow in our relationship with God to be intentional about that relationship, we need to have eagerness. Verses 10 and 11 say, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Right? It's one thing to be told, okay, you have these instructions, you have this guideline, this outline of how I want you to live your life. I need you to be obedient. But you have no promises of hope or no promises of joy. Right? That would be really difficult for us to follow along. If we didn't have somebody who along that road, along with that obedience, said, "I care for you, I can help you, right? I can sustain you." That would be really difficult if we didn't have that opportunity for joy along with this obedience. But with the eagerness, like Roger talked about this morning, we can have in that obedience joy, right? And why do we have that joy? Why do we have that eagerness? It is because of who Jesus is. It is because of how he lived his life, that he came and walked the earth just as you and I do. He experienced the things we experienced. It is because how Jesus loves, right? That ultimate sacrifice that we could have hope of eternal life. That is the reason for our joy. That is the reason for our eagerness within this obedience. Why is it important to have a focus on God being the giver of life? Why is it important for us to know that our identity is in him? Why is it important that our understanding is directing to, on our own, I can do nothing. I cannot accomplish these things. It is because we are eager that we know who can help us. We know who can sustain us. We know who can build us up. And in that, we have found that joy, and we can find that joy. And then lastly, from this focus, from this understanding, from this eagerness, it shows in our living, the way we live our lives. Verse 8, I think, is arguably one of the best verses there in the entire book of John. I love verse 8 and what it tells us within, again, this context, this idea that if we are having a desire to grow closer to God, if we are intentional about our relationship with God, it shows in our lives. Verse 8 of John chapter 15 reads, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Right? What a beautiful thought that by living with Him as a focus, by having this understanding of who He is and what He does, by being eager about His Word and His hope that He provides us, that life we live, the choices we make, can then glorify Him, not just to ourselves, not just to our church family, but to others, right? That we can be the proof that we are His disciples. That is where it shows, right? It doesn't just show others. It doesn't just show Him. But sometimes I need that reminder that I have to show myself that I am looking at this the right way, right? When everything seems to be difficult or different, right? Society has a lot of people who like to focus on getting attention, right? They love the eyeballs. They love the listening ears. They use their different platforms, anything that gives them attention. But from that attention, they don't always act with intention, right? I don't know the difference of words. Sometimes the accent, attention, intention, it's almost like saying I wear a crown or I color with crowns. Hopefully that point is landed home, right? This idea that intentional living, if we are intentional about our relationships, if we are intentional about our attitudes, if we are intentional about how we talk or treat others, that is proof to them that we are or can be God's disciples, right? We are not saying things that we don't mean, right? We are not agreeing to do things that we have no intention of fulfilling, right? We are not misleading people. We are not hurting people. We're not thinking of ourselves only in different circumstances. And well, if it's easier on me, but it puts a lot more effort on you, so be it. That's not how disciples are called to act. That's not how the obedience and understanding, that's not where our focus needs to be. Again, that first point, He is the life source, not us. We are not the center of our own universe. And so when we act in a way, when we conduct ourselves in a way that isn't focused on Him, that isn't intentional about our relationship with God, sometimes we may share or show others that wrong example. This example that we can be God's disciples and honor Him in our actions, right? This idea that John 15, that Jesus shares with us, that for, again, our overall goal of bringing the best to Jesus, of growing closer to Jesus, of being more connected with Jesus, that with a focus, with a foundational starting point, with a Christ-centered understanding, with an eagerness to obey His commandments, and then in the way we live our lives, that fuel helps us with our growth, helps us grow closer to Him. We can be fueled by intention in our lives if we look at and direct ourselves and grow closer to that true vine that He speaks of in John 15. Got one more verse for you. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, I think, is a good end point to wrap all of this up, this idea that if we are going to have intention in everything that we do, if we want to live a life, to have a relationship with Christ that is intentional, I think Mark 12, verse 30 does a great job of showing us, really, about as clear as can be, what that is going to take from all of us. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." Right? It is not some of your mind and all of your heart. It is not part of your strength and part of your heart. It is being intentional in every sense of the word, in everything that we do about our relationship with God. Our focus, our understanding, our eagerness, and the way we live our lives, right? That is what brings us closer and more connected to this true vine that we read of in John 15. Are we giving Him our all? Are we being intentional about who He is and what He has done and the way that He loves? Right? Jesus was certainly intentional about how He conducted himself and his mission and his sacrifice for the benefit of us. I'd ask you tonight before we leave, are we doing the same? Are we being fueled by that same level of intention that he did for us, for our care, for our life? Perhaps tonight you are ready to be immersed in the waters of baptism for the first time. Perhaps you have not had God as the center of your life, and you are ready for the first time to do so. Perhaps you are like that branch that we read of that was connected at one point, but is starting to wither a little bit, and perhaps you need to be pruned in the right ways. Perhaps you just need some help, you need some prayers. If there is anything that we can do for you, we'd ask that you come forward as we stand and as we sing.